Right, good evening, everybody. It is 6:30. So welcome to this cabinet meeting of Monday, the 17th of January, 2022. So item number one then is to receive apologies for absence. I can see we are present and correct. So item number two then is declarations of interest. Does anybody have any declarations to make in terms of the items on the agenda? No? Okay, thank you. So item number three then is to approve as a correct record the public minutes of the meeting held on the 20th of December 2021. So those minutes have been circulated. Are there any questions in relation to those minutes? If not, I would like to propose that we accept those as a correct record. Can I have a second of what, please, Councillor Allen? Thank you. So all those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous from voting members. Thank you. Right. Item number four then is to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. I have not been made aware of any urgent business. So item five then is the forward plan. Chief Executive.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from the period of the 1st of January through to the 30th of April this year. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the forward? No? Okay, thank you. Okay, which then takes us to item number six, which is the emergency planning COVID-19 recovery update report for January 2022. And I'll ask James to present.
Thanks, Leader. So, as you say, this is the COVID update for January 2022. As we know, an emergency situation is looked at in two phases, a response phase and a recovery phase. And the focus of this report, as it has been in previous months, is primarily on those activities and opportunities for recovery from any impacts arising from the pandemic. And these activities have continued to be considered those four broad themes that we've identified previously. But it is worth mentioning that, as we all know, the response side of the situation has been developing quite quickly over the past few days and weeks nationally. The situation to the coordinating group to again declare the situation a major incident in Staffordshire. And with these response types of considerations in mind, I've added some information into the report at section 5.1, which you can see across pages 4 and 5, on the latest position and guidance on the situation more generally that's coming through nationally, and also what that might mean more locally as well. I think one point to mention since the report was written is the temporary suspension of garden waste collections from the 13th of January for an increasing number of employee absences in the area, predominantly as a result of COVID. So just that one service change to mention there, and there's lots of good work in terms of recovery, some of which you have seen before in some context from the report, but I'll just quickly run through and pull out those new items and significant updates in the normal way. But as always, that table you can see on page 7 just shows the particular highlights that relate to the four recovery themes with the full detail, of course, set out throughout the report. So starting with local economy and business, there's detail here about the additional restrictions grant scheme, including payments made with the new business fund and the launch of a new process to assist businesses that are experiencing difficulties in terms of the current variants. Also, some information there on the launch of the vulnerable renter payment scheme and the offer to again waive car parking charges in all council car parks on those 3 Saturdays in the lead up to Christmas period. There's also reference to the ongoing work of the enterprise team, such as the grants that they signpost to and the support provided to any Staffordshire business support webinar. And also having been postponed in 2020, the business awards return this year, providing that opportunity to network and celebrate that business success from across the region. There's also information here on the range of events and initiatives from across the Burton Market Hall and the Marketplace, as well as the Brewhouse Arts Centre and the Stay Local campaign as well. And also linking to our comms and digital strategies, where we are developing a dedicated business e-newsletter, providing the opportunity to communicate directly to local businesses, in addition to the residency e-newsletter that we've launched in recent months. So moving on to infrastructure environment then. There's information here on the Stay Local campaign and also the community and civic enforcement team who've been supporting local shops following the reintroduction of mandatory face coverings in shops. There's also information on the council's horticultural team planting trees throughout the winter months as part of our Friends of the Newly Established Trees project. And finally, it's worth mentioning that the council has recruited a mobile CCTV enforcement officer alongside the introduction of mobile CCTV cameras to help clamp down on any fly tipping or riches in the borough. So looking at physical and psychological health, there's information on the fuel poverty advice being given through the coal project, as well as detail on the range of Christmas and birthday events that were held throughout the festive period. There's also information on the council's approach to sleeping, which has been supported by some DLUC protect and vaccinate funding for a number of bespoke interventions in that area. And we've also helped the government in supporting some communications directed to landlords around the importance of ventilation in indoor spaces, you know, around reducing the risk of spreading COVID. Council's also supported some communications on a range of services that are available across the area, in particular for help with mental health issues. And then the final theme is around embedding new best practices and norms of behaviour. So a couple of examples here in that the Open Spaces team have started to utilise an app to help identify the location of issues or items reported by residents. And also, as we know from the middle of December, the government guidance was to work from home where possible. So from a council staff perspective, that means that the majority that were able to work from home before the return to the office, if you like, back in September, are doing so again. And colleagues are, of course, being supported in the right ways with some reminders around resources that are available to help facilitate that working from home, as well as being able to support health and wellbeing issues as well. So that's really a quick summary of where we are. As I mentioned at the outset, the council continues to monitor the situation very closely on an ongoing basis, as you'd expect. There's a lot of good work happening across the organisation on those activities and opportunities for recovery. With that, I'll hand back to you, Leader, for any questions.
Thank you very much indeed, James. And as ever, thank you for the detail in the report. Does anybody have any questions or comments? So, just by way of a brief update in terms of the current Omicron wave. So our case rate appears as in line with the rest of the country now to have peaked. So our current 7-day rate is 1,147, which compares to a peak on the 6th of January of 1,820. So there is clear evidence of what appears in for that peak to be passing. In terms of translation to hospital occupation, there are a higher number of beds occupied by positive cases. So there are currently 43 compared to say there were 20 around October 22 on the 17th of October. So the numbers are higher. However, what it does appear clear from some of the data that I'm looking at anyway, so on the 14th of January, for example, 10 inpatients were diagnosed. So that suggests to me that they were already in hospital and had been then tested positive. So I think there's some similarities with maybe going on nationally. I guess in terms of where our focus ought to be, I think, as you rightly pointed out, James, needs to continue to be on recovery rather than an adjustment to response. Although clearly we've got to respond by way of workforce issues, which we are doing in the waste area. Okay, are there any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much indeed, James. Okay, which takes us then to item number 7, which is the Health and Activity Strategy Review 2021. We have Simon Mowley to present. Simon.
Thank you, Leader. Evening, everybody. So in line with corporate plan target EHB05, a review of health and activity strategy.
We can't hear you, Simon. You're not on mute, so give the headphones a wiggle.
You'll have to change the audio device.
So is it any better, Leader?
No.
Is
he'll have to change it. His
microphone. Yeah.
How about now? Hello.
We tried Caroline to see if it's that end or this end.
Caroline, can you come off mute just see if we can hear you?
Can you hear me yet at all, anybody?
Oh, yes, Simon, no.
Can you hear me?
I can hear Simon. Speaking, the amplifier's not.
Is that, I think the sound might be turned off.
Right, I can hear Simon.
Sound on the bottom right, next to the time. It's turned off. Sorry, Simon.
That's fine. Can you all hear me now?
Oh, no, it's not. It looked like it was. Oh, right.
Hello. I'll start again, shall I? Thank you, Leader. Evening, everybody. So, in line with corporate plan target EHB05, a review of health and activity strategy and delivery in the borough was undertaken. The review included the strategies of national, regional and local organisations responsible for the development of sport and physical activity in East Staffordshire and was undertaken to identify where the strategies supported the authority's leisure outcomes and where any gaps or unnecessary duplication may be. The strategies reviewed were Sport England's Uniting the Movement, Together Active Step Up, Everyone Active's Uniting Communities Through Activity, and Burton Albion Community Trust's Healthier, Happier and Stronger Communities. The strategies were mapped against the five authority outcomes for leisure, which are more people more active, reduced inactivity in a healthier population, reduced inequality, economic benefit, and building strong partnerships. Upon review, it was determined that reviewed strategies support the authority's outcomes and that a new strategy is unnecessary at this time. It is recommended that the key partners' strategic performances are reviewed over the next year and any identified gaps or duplication in delivery and operations are fed into the authority's outcome scorecard and reacted to by our operating partner, Everyone Active. The use of the scorecard provides an opportunity for the authority to ensure that the outcomes are delivered through one of the key contract monitoring elements, which is regularly tracked throughout each contract year. That concludes my summary, and I'll hand back to you, Leader, for any questions, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Simon. Good to hear you. Any questions? No? Okay.
I just want to thank everyone for the work on it. It highlights the importance that health is alongside sport and shows the importance of it and how we need to follow up on both. So thank you, Simon.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I guess health outcomes post-pandemic obviously important, as has been highlighted here. So there are, I'm not going to read them in because they're enormous, there are a number of recommendations as set out in section 12 of the report. So I would like to propose that we accept those recommendations. Can I have a second? Councillor Ashcroft, thank you very much. All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous from the voting numbers. Thank you. Okay, that brings us to the end of the agenda. So I will conclude the meeting and thank you all very much indeed. Okay.